it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rhodes will snap. Sanchez will hold. And the kick is no good. Denver's going to win. Denver's going to win.
Oh, is there a penalty down in the middle of the field? Right by the center.
Oh, my goodness.
They must have touched the center.
This is You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
That was a great mix of that cut there. It was well done. Nice fade at the end. Nice natural out. I'm a little salty with everybody today. A little salty. Kevin Harlan, Trent Green with the call this past Sunday on CBS. That was one of those where, wow, like I won some money. This is really great. Oh, wait. There's a penalty flag on the field. No, I didn't. It's been a frustrating first couple weeks betting the National Football League for yours truly. And there have been people that have cost me money. People that have cost you, the listener and viewer, money. And we hold them accountable each and every Tuesday here during the National Football League season on You Better You Bet with He's a Slap. Let's start with Denver Broncos head coach Sean Payton. Everyone thinks of Sean Payton. Wow, he's one of the best coaches of all time in the NFL. Super Bowl champion. Offensive guru. Smartest guy in the room. Don't believe me? Just ask him. He'd love to tell you how much smarter he is than you and everybody else. And that smart guy routine, look at how great I am, look at how smart I am, look at how many friends I have. Look at how I tricked the Vikings into taking J.J. McCarthy, even though, like, why would you do that? Like, what does it have to do with anything? Let me throw my players under the bus publicly. This routine and this act works with Sean Payton. And to be clear, I like Sean Payton a lot. He's a Giants guy originally and a Parcells guy. And everyone's like, oh, well, he started in Dallas. No, he started with the Giants. And when Kerry Collins threw a brutal sideline interception to Justin Lucas in a Giants-Cardinals game in 2002, Jim Fossil took the play calling away from Sean Payton, and Sean Payton got so pissed that he left the Giants, and he was right, and the Giants were wrong. But still, this act works for Sean Payton when you're winning football games, and you're doing it in a decisive way. So in week one, and I didn't bet the Broncos in week one, but maybe you did. The Broncos should have won that game despite the turnovers against Tennessee, by 30 points. They won by 8. The spread was 8.5. At the end of the game, Sean Payton could have kicked a field goal to cover the spread and like put the game out of reach and instead went for it on fourth down in a ridiculous, ridiculous call that no one brings up because it was a nothing game and the Broncos ended up winning. And Sean Payton apologized after the game, saying he needs to be way better calling an offensive game. He was on Sunday. The Broncos' offense looked great against Indy's defense. But at the end of the game, that leverage call, some bitching and moaning about it. How do you make that call if you're an official? Sean Payton says it was the right call. And he also said that it's his fault. Not special teams coach Darren Rizzi. You know, the Rizzler. It's no one's fault but his. He called a field goal block on a 60-yard field goal. As it turns out, the kick was like short and wide right by 10 yards. You didn't have to try and block it. He was going to miss it. Not Brandon Aubrey kicking this field goal. and he cost the Broncos a win, and more importantly, cost me money. Hey, Sean, you want to replay this I'm smarter than you, holier than that routine? Go out there and win the damn game on Sunday against the Chargers. No more excuses, no more hand up, no more, sorry, I need to do better. This is the NFL, buddy. This ain't Pop Warner. Do better, Slappy. Alligators get a raw deal. Sometimes they bite people. I think that's generally people's fault. Like, hey, like, you know what alligators like to do? They like to bite people. Leave an alligator alone. I don't think the alligator's going to bother anybody. But we take the word alligator and we turn it into an insult when we talk about the National Football League. When we describe a wide receiver as having alligator arms. Some people like alligator-skinned wallets, alligator-skinned boots. That's some people's jam. If that's what you like, Brian Thomas Jr. is your favorite wide receiver. No one in the history of the world has alligator arms like this guy. Terrified of getting hit. People want to say, well, you know, Trevor Lawrence throws hospital balls over the middle of the field. Guess what, idiots? It's the NFL. You throw passes over the middle of the field. And if you're an NFL wide receiver, your bell is going to get rung. Your ass is going to get lit up. There's a part of the job. Period. And Brian Thomas, who I love. Who loves Brian Thomas Jr. more than me? You listen to the show last year, this year, this offseason? I think he's the best. The fact that he's so scared of taking... What happened to this dude? I'm worried. I'm being serious. I don't know if it's something going on in his head. Is he hurt? I don't know what's going on. He got to fix it. And I need him to fix it. Now. Because I need the Jaguars to beat the Texans on Sunday for my futures bets. Brian Thomas Jr., quit being a slap.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Start catching the ball. Week one for the New York Jets. You know what we say? No medals for trying. No moral victories. Loser participation trophy culture. But despite all of that, we collectively, as an NFL viewing public, cognoscenti, is that how you pronounce the word? Whatever. We all somehow decided, including me, and I'm a hard ass. I think second place is the first loser. No medals for trying. I can't wait to like watch my daughter play soccer and like change my mind completely. Being a parent will probably change my mind. But for now, no medals for trying. And yet we all somehow decided after the Jets' loss in week one, wow, like they actually won the game. It's okay that they lost because they were really gutty in losing. Like, they barely lost and they played well, so actually it's like a win. Even though they lost, they were 0-1. What a mistake that was. Because the Jets this past Sunday against Buffalo got embarrassed by the Bills. And Aaron Glenn wanted to do this tough guy routine, cutting Xavier Gibson last week. We're not going to let people that make plays like this, they're not going to stick. They're not going to be a Jet. Oh, yeah? Why is Michael Clemens still on the team? You going to cut Justin Fields? Played like ass on Sunday. Is he going to get cut? You going to cut Sauce Gardner? You going to cut Garrett Wilson? Or is that type of tough talk BS reserved only for guys that are on the roster bubble? Yeah, Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, like that's Detroit Lions culture. That's Dan Campbell culture, right? Getting embarrassed. And the whole thing with Aaron Glenn, let Tanner Engstrand run the offense. Aaron Glenn's going to fix the defense. How's the defense look through 2 weeks? Anyone think Aaron Glenn's doing a great job? We all looking to crown Aaron Glenn after another loss? 0-2. Time to turn it around. But like, I'm done with the moral victories nonsense. Go out there and beat Todd Bowles and the Bucs on Sunday, whether it's Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor. Slappy. I have a couple other names written down, but Emmy's got some betting stuff here. I was going to kill Caleb Johnson. Yeah.
Oh, no, please do that. I bet Steelers, so
do
please kill
to?
Caleb Johnson.
Do you want
no,
to?
No, I want you to kill. I want to hear what you have to say about Caleb Johnson.
Okay. All right, are you ready? Like, I had nothing planned.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So the Pittsburgh Steelers drafted Caleb Johnson. And everyone's thinking, oh, okay, thunder and lightning with Jaylen Warren and Caleb Johnson. Couple problems with this. Number one, Caleb Johnson can't pass protect. Number two, his quarterback's Aaron Rodgers. Do people think that Aaron Rodgers is going to let a rookie play who can't protect him from the blitz? Like, what planet are you on? Kenny Gainwell's been the number two running back for the Steelers for like 2.5 months. Caleb Johnson was there, and people are drafting Caleb Johnson fans. Oh, he's going to be awesome this year. Really? He can't even get on the field. Yeah, he's great. So we gave you point one. We gave you point two. In Buzz from Home Alone fashion, point D. Caleb Johnson's returning kicks for the Steelers. Now, I will admit something to everybody. I got too much going on in my life to know the landing zone rules. Yeah, to me, it's like, is the landing zone, like, where is that next to, like, the demilitarized zone? Like, is the landing zone, like the body of water in between, like, North and South Korea? Like, the body of, like, is that what the landing, I don't know, what's the landing zone? I don't know, they change the rules every year now. I honestly don't understand it. But I don't play in the NFL. I'm not a kick returner in the NFL. Caleb Johnson is. First off, like, the ball, like, hit him. So it's like, it's a live ball, buddy. He doesn't know the rules. Let's the ball bounce into the Seahawks. It's a touch. It what? Mike Tomlin goes, yeah, we practice. He got asked about it. Do you guys know about this? He goes, yeah, we talk about it every day of our lives. Do you? Didn't look like your kick returner knew the rules, Mike. Caleb Johnson can't pass protect. Can't get on the field with Aaron Rodgers, and now won't be returning kicks anymore for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But hey, we'll always have those days in April following the NFL draft where in dynasty drafts, people like Tyler Morales were falling all over themselves to click that button on Caleb Johnson. What a slap. And then I'll just very quickly, the Cardinals won, and like I'm happy they did. Jonathan Gannon looked like... Jonathan Gannon looked like he took mushrooms in the second half of the game, and then and then saw like a cop car drive by him. Yeah, just like terrified of the world, unable to put a sentence together, mouth closed. Can we please do better, Jonathan Gannon? I don't have time to get into the full Gannon thing. So there you have it. Those are the slaps for week number two in the National Football League. You better, you bet on this Tuesday. Femi, did the Caleb Johnson stuff make you feel any better?
I still don't have the money that I would have won had the Steelers been able to cover, so I can't say I feel better, but it was needed just to hear that. And also, by the way, to put a bow on that, Mike Tomlin said that he probably won't be returning kicks anymore. So we got that going for us going forward for the Pittsburgh Steelers in week three.
I can say that.
Landing zone aside, like, it's a kickoff. That's why there's onside kicks. Like, you can't just let the ball sit there. You literally have to possess the football. It is a kickoff. It's not like it's a punt and the other team comes down and then downs the punt or whatever. It is a kickoff. So regardless, whether it's 10 yards or 60 yards down the field, you need to recover that ball. Otherwise, it belongs to the kick team. Like, the whole thing is just ridiculous. And I can't believe it happened. And it cost us money. So it sucks.
Well, yeah. And for my Pittsburgh playoff bets, that was not great. Pittsburgh over the win total. You have a couple other betting thoughts out of last night. So mine were... like Falcons to make the playoffs, actually, with how good Tampa's looked and the fact that Atlanta should have beat them in week one. And I like the Broncos on Sunday, Femi, against the Chargers. What do you got for us coming out of Monday Night Football, betting-wise?
So the first thing is kind of goes against what you believe for this weekend. I think the Chargers are going to win the division. And I wasn't there until last night because I felt deep down that the Raiders were going to win the game. So I thought Kansas City could still hang around. When you look at the Chargers schedule, and Bill brought this up in our text chain last night, and I kind of thought about it a little bit after the game. I was like, huh, like this team really does have a very, very favorable schedule. Like, let's just say the betting market's right and they win a close game on Sunday against Denver. At your Giants, home Commanders, at Dolphins, home Colts, home Vikings, at Titans, home Steelers, at Jaguars. That is the stretch before the bye week. I mean, are we talking about the 9-1, 10-1 Los Angeles Chargers? Is that what we're talking about once we get to around Thanksgiving? I think we might be. And at
plus 110,
they're
going to lose on Sunday. They're going to lose on Sunday.
Well, I mean, even if they do lose, I mean, I read off the other games. Like, they very much have the best quarterback in all of those games, and it's not even close. And they probably have the best head coach in the game as well. Like, they're in an advantageous situation to where if they rip off all these wins, plus 110, it's not going to be plus 110 when we get to around Turkey Day. So I think it is wise to grab some charges, especially if you believe they're going to win on Sunday.
I like that. What do you think about, I know you'll do this tomorrow in the Femi Hour of the show. A lot of people are liking Justin Herbert MVP right now, third on the odds board.
I think he's got a very good chance. And we were talking about that last week during our awards segment. If you have those Josh Allen and Jordan Love tickets, you want to play some defense and grab you some Justin Herbert, because that guy is going to be in the conversation all season.
On the other side, we'll get you set to bet college football this weekend. The biggest storylines in college football coming out of week 3 into week 4 next.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.